me start by saying, if I haven't said it to each one of you, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good. That didn't sound happy. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Yeah. Did you make any New Year's resolutions?
No.
Did anybody make any New Year's resolutions?
They're worthless.
No, last year I said I'm not going to make any more New Year's resolutions, so I have to hang on to that. But this has been some year, hasn't it? Man, I tell you, we've been through, still going through, the deepest national stress of my lifetime, I'm pretty sure most of our lifetimes. And we've been stressed almost to the breaking point. Every now and then, I get to looking at what the Lord said in Matthew 24. There you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, for kingdoms shall rise against kingdoms, and nations against nations. And there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. Boy, we see that all over the place, don't we?
Amen.
And every day we hear of a different situation that causes us to fear the future and kind of just hunker down where we are. We don't want to go out. We don't want to do anything. And stress is robbing us of our rest. And our lack of rest is giving us stress. And we're caught in this vicious cycle of physical and emotional and sometimes even spiritual fatigue. And it doesn't seem to want to end, does it? Just about when we think we've got over one hump, they throw another one at us. But you know what? It's kind of like the Simon and Garfunkel song. There is a bridge over the troubled waters. There really is. God knew about the benefits of music to help us deal with stress, to be healthier and happier, even holier. So he gave us the longest book of the Bible, which is the book of Psalms, but it is a book of songs. It is the songs mainly of David. God knows how to give us comfort for our souls. I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that. He's the God of all comfort. God knows how to give us peace in the midst of these chaotic circumstances we are facing. Jesus said, "My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, I give you my peace," which is so encouraging. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be listening to the song that God gave to David in Psalm 23. There are 150 psalms in this collection, but Psalm 23 is by far the most popular. And as you read through this psalm, if you read through this psalm, I'll tell you what, you begin to feel good. Your stress level begins to lower. And you realize that there really is a light at the end of the tunnel. And no, it's not a train coming the other way. No, that's not what it is. Sometimes, as I read the 23rd Psalm, you get brightness in all the gloom that's around us. Now, this entire song is about a shepherd and taking care of his sheep. And David lifts his heart in song to honor the Lord he loves. You know what's interesting? Scientists tell us that there is an incredible emotional, psychological, and spiritual benefit to music. There really is. Let me give you a few of them. Listening to music increases cortisol, which releases anxiety. Listening to music causes your brain to release dopamine, which is a feel-good chemical for your body. Listening to music can help you fall asleep faster, wake up less often during the night, and even feeling more rested in the morning. Except if you listen to punk rock and stuff like that before you go to bed. Don't do that. All right, that won't work that way. Music promotes the production of an antibody that attacks viruses and bacteria. It kills other viruses and even kills cancer cells. That is amazing. Listening to music can cause blood vessels to expand, increasing the blood flow and improving your cardiovascular health. Do y'all ever think that that's what music does in your life? I always thought it just made me feel good. You know, now I know that there's a lot more involved than that. So here David tells us that there's plenty to get excited about when it comes to our Lord and His goodness in our lives. It's not all gloom and doom, folks. It really isn't. If you were to read the papers or look on the internet or listen to the TV, that's all you hear. As I've said so many times, gloom, despair, agony on us. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, we'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, agony on me. But that's not the way it is with the Christian, folks. We have plenty to be excited about if we know the great shepherd. The Lord, here's Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, David identifies the object of his love as the Lord. The Lord. This is the great I am. This is the God of creation. This is the God of salvation. The God of eternity. In fact, he's the one and only God. And David gives us three reasons why, no matter what happens going forward, our faith should be strong and our fear should be gone. Remember, Paul told Timothy, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Not only that, our worship should be strong and our worry should be gone. Isn't that what Paul told the church at Philippi? Don't worry about anything, but pray with thanksgiving. Give your requests to God. Our prayer should also be strong, and our panic should be gone. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because we trust in him." Hallelujah. Of all the names of the Lord that David gave, that wants to magnify the Lord, he gives Jehovah Raha, which is the Lord my shepherd. Why? Well, it's because the image of a shepherd tenderly leading and feeding and caring for his sheep is a perfect picture of our Savior's relationship to his children, to his sheep. So why is our faith and our worship and our prayer to be strong? Well, here's number one. We have a shepherd who leads us. We really do. This entire song is about a shepherd taking care of his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. It's interesting, a lot of different countries have adopted certain animals to symbolize their national spirit. For instance, the United States has an
eagle.
All right? Russia has a
bear.
Great Britain has a lion. Okay? All right. Normally, a nation will choose an animal that symbolizes strength and power and independence. That's what they normally do. But God chose to represent us as sheep. Now, sheep are mentioned over 500 times in the Bible, and over 200 times we're called sheep. Let me tell you a little bit about sheep. They're dumb as dirt. I've gone to circuses before, and I've seen trained lions, I've seen trained tigers, I've seen trained bears. Oh my. Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh my.
Thank you. Oh man, thank you very much. But you know what? I have never seen a trained sheep. They don't, you can't train sheep. They're dumb. They'll wander off. They'll walk off a cliff. I mean, we need to survive, and a shepherd is the only way that these sheep will survive. You know, one of the things that moved the heart of the Lord Jesus, it says in Matthew chapter 9, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. We need a shepherd to guide us. That's why this is such a great statement. Because we have none other than the Lord, God Almighty, as our shepherd. That ought to encourage us, folks. That ought to bless us, because being a shepherd is a 24-hour day job. You don't take any days off being a shepherd. And the shepherd is totally responsible for the sheep. The sheep depend entirely on the shepherd for everything, for food, for water, for shelter, for safety, for everything. And being a shepherd is a round-the-clock job. That ought to, folks, be music to our ears. The welfare of the sheep is the work of the shepherd. That's his job. The Lord, our shepherd has made himself responsible to meet our needs. And our shepherd has everything. He is everywhere. He can do anything. And he will meet whatever needs we have. Now, he's no ordinary shepherd. That word Lord speaks of his deity, but the word shepherd speaks of his humanity. So who is the shepherd he's talking about in Psalm 23? Class? The Lord Jesus. That's the shepherd. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, the writer says, he is the great shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, Peter called him the chief shepherd. So when you decide to give your life to the Lord Jesus, the Jesus that became your Savior is the Lord who becomes your shepherd. Amen. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do we? Does anybody here know what's going to happen tomorrow? Somebody said it's going to snow. I already got my blow shovel out. I got it all fixed and ready to go, you know. So we're good to go, aren't we, sweetie? Yes, indeed. But we have a shepherd who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He is going to lead us through whatever it is coming tomorrow. We don't know what's over the hill, but the shepherd does. And he'll lead us over it. And he leads us, and he'll never leave us. That's even more exciting. Hebrews 13:5, God said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. He sees what we can't see. He knows what we don't know. And he hears what we don't hear. And he's going to get us to where we need to be, because we have a shepherd who leads us. Secondly, we have a shepherd who looks after us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The shepherd has three primary responsibilities. He guides the sheep to the shelter. He guards the sheep from danger. And he gives the sheep their food. That's his responsibility. He makes sure that all of their needs are met. Now that word want literally means lack. And in another translation, and on the front of your bulletins, says the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. I remember a kid in school who was quoting the 23rd Psalm, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. Amen, brother. Amen. Now listen, the shepherd never promises to give the sheep everything they want, but he does promise to give them everything they need. In fact, there's over 7,000 promises in the scripture given to the sheep. Oh, that's a lot. And every one of them is promising that whenever we come up against something real in our lives, a need that we have, he's going to meet that need. We lack nothing as far as the Lord is concerned. So in the midst of everything that we're going through, that we continue to go through, and we're going to keep going through till who knows when we're not going to be going through it anymore. At the end of the day, when the rubber meets the road, and all those other good cliches that we always throw in there, if the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. Amen? Amen. Number three, we have a shepherd who loves us. There's a little word in this verse that determines whether or not this psalm is for you or for me. And that word is my. My shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. David is speaking of the one who knows us intimately. And it's the same relationship that every Christian should have with the Lord Jesus. An intimate, personal relationship with him. The word my is key because it unlocks the door to God's blessings that he's going to talk about here in the 23rd Psalm. Now, you may know about God as a shepherd, or you may believe that God is the shepherd, but here's the question. Can you say the Lord is my shepherd? My personal shepherd? Can you say that today? If you can't, then this psalm really isn't for you. And there's only one way to know the Lord is your shepherd, and that's to make the shepherd your Lord. The shepherd has a personal relationship with each one of his sheep. Jesus said in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no one's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one and the same." We are the same. You see, it's interesting, a good shepherd can locate one of his sheep out of the flock by the way he holds his head, by the way he bleats. Honey, can you bleat for me?
No.
No. She does a really good bleat. I can't do it. Anyway. And a shepherd can look in the eyes of a sheep and tell if it's sick. Now, I remember back when we were raising and showing Yorkshire Terriers. This is a little personal thing. We had 39 Yorkies in our townhouse. Did you hear me? We had 39 Yorkies in our townhouse. You couldn't walk 6 feet without tripping over a Yorkie. They were everywhere. Tell you what. And people ask me all the time, "Do you know who they are? Can you tell me which one is which one?" I could tell you every one of them. I knew every one of their names. Don't ask me now. But back then, when they were running around, I knew all their names. I could tell them apart. I knew their mannerisms. Some were really what you call alpha dogs, and others were beta. You know, they roll over at the first sign of any kind of trouble. I think a little Nicky. Anyway, but you could always, I could tell every one of them. And if one of them made a mess, I could walk in there and I could see it and I would go, "Who did that?" And all the other little Yorkies be dancing around. It's kind of like, him, it's him. It's him. It's him. You look over there and it'd be one of them over in the corner like this. You knew. I knew exactly what was going on. I knew them. That's how intimately our Lord knows us. He knows them. He knows his sheep better than anybody else knows them. Pastor Bill was reading from Psalm 100. Was it 100 you read from? No, you read from 103. Verse 100, Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Jesus, our shepherd, knows us better than we know us. We think we know what we need, but you know what? Jesus really knows what we need. He knows how to forgive our past. He knows how to set up our present. And He knows how to fulfill our future. But the Lord can't become our shepherd until the shepherd becomes our Lord. That's what Paul said in Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. See, if Christ Jesus is not your Lord, then He's not your shepherd. He is not. The Lord is my shepherd. There's one more thing about a shepherd that's different, this shepherd, that's different from every other shepherd. Every other shepherd gives the sheep what they need. But this shepherd, this good shepherd, this great shepherd, this chief shepherd, doesn't just give us everything we need. He is everything we need. If we're hungry, the Bible says He's the bread of life. If we're thirsty, He's the living water. If we're in the dark, He's the light of the world. If we're lost, He's the way. If we're confused, He's the truth. And if we're dying, He's our life. Amen. If we need it, He has it. Psalm 84, verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." Listen to this next phrase. "No good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly." He loves us. He takes care of us. And if you know Him as David did, then you know He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of everything we can give to Him. And as His sheep, we should never be ashamed to exalt Him, to praise Him, to worship Him. The one who bought us, sought us, and bought us with His redeeming love. Amen. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. Folks, remember, we don't have to go through all of this alone. We don't have to stay up night wondering if we're going to make it or if we're not. I so thank the Lord that when I got saved, I got more than a Savior. I got a shepherd. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Folks, He is all we need. I got one who loves me, who tends to me, who cares for me, who leads me, feeds me, protects me, and guides me through this life. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "And the Father knows me, and even as I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep." Somebody said, isn't he talking about Israel? Well, the next verse says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, that they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd." Folks, that's talking about us. That's us. Hallelujah for that, right? Amen. So if you've given your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus, then you're in His fold. You have given your life to the Lord Jesus. Have you? Jesus said, "I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly." Folks, we have a Savior who leads us. We have a Savior who looks after us. We have a Savior who loves us like no other shepherd possibly could. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I guess the question is He your shepherd? Is He? Let's pray.